Good morning. When it comes to the European Union referendum debate, there are no facts. And anyone who claims to know what would happen after a leave vote is a liar. Martin Lewis has said that. He's with us this morning. Good morning to you, Martin.
Morning.
Good morning. Well, it's good to talk to you. It's been a while. And I guess people are trying to get their head around this, Martin, and understand what people are telling. They're getting bombarded with facts, aren't they?
Yeah, they're getting bombarded with estimates, guesstimates, hope, analysis and academic pieces, which are all based on a range of assumptions. And actually, in some ways, I think it's dangerous. I think we tend to have, seem to be having a binary debate. This debate is not. It's far from binary. There is certainly the EU is not all bad. Equally, the EU is not all good. In between. And what's quite despicable and patronising by the politicians in this debate is even where we hear that they've taken a weekend to decide which way they're going to go. And then after they've decided, suddenly they're all one or all the other. Was that easy? If that's plain, why did you take a weekend to decide? Actually, I've been going through this 2 weeks, fact by fact. And I think it's very nuanced. It's very close. It's a very fine decision. It's not easy to know right from wrong in this. And the concept they come out with exact numbers of what's going to happen and exact numbers of how many immigrants are going to come in on both sides is simply wrong. There are no facts. What you have to do as an individual making your decision is embrace the uncertainty and accept there is an uncertainty. Try and do a risk analysis. And I think we have been patronised and let down by our politicians on the quality of the debate in this. Now, before anyone gets worried, I'm not trying to campaign. If you have made up your mind how you want to vote, good. I think you should go forward and do it. I've effectively been dragged into this campaign, somewhat kicking and screaming and unwillingly, to be honest, because, I mean, people will be sitting out there now going, hold on, he's a Remainer. He was on my Remain leaflets. It came through my door. I can't do that in the Belfast accent, I'm afraid, so I did it my own version. And the reason for that is I was put in those leaflets without permission, without asking. I am not a Remain campaigner. That was not my intention. The quote they used was accurate, but it was a very, very narrow quote said in a long piece on television. It was picked and chosen. And suddenly, you know, imagine my shock when I get a leaflet through my door with Stronger in Europe at the top and my own photo at the top of it. I nearly dropped my wallet.
So what way are you going to vote?
Well, this has been a difficult one because it's in the public domain and I've written this piece on how to vote. And I thought that because when asked a straight question, I give a straight answer. So I was asked earlier in the campaign how I'd vote and my answer was, I think I'm 55% in, 45% out. That's where I am. So that's an in vote, just. And I do that because I personally am quite risk averse. My economic summary of this, and there are many other issues in this, in the economy, immigration, and sovereignty are the other two big ones from what people have contacted me about. Those are the three things people care about, the economy, sovereignty, and immigration. But just on an economic sense of this, I've had a look, and my summary on that is, if you don't want to take the risk that things could get worse, vote in, because there is much less change likely if you vote in than vote out. Vote out is riskier in the certainty, more variance, not necessarily a bad thing, it could be a good thing, but variance and change is what happens if we vote out. If you're willing to take the risk that things could get worse in the hope things could get better because you think we're in a situation that really just isn't tenable right now, then you should vote out. And I'm risk averse. So on balance, everything, the sovereignty issues, the immigration issues, everything. For me, on balance, I'm finally in the in camp, but that is not a call for anybody to follow me. It doesn't make me an in campaigner. That's my personal vote. And actually, you have to weigh up what's important to you, your community, the country, and the rest of the world when making this decision by going through each issue and doing a risk assessment.
Well, if people
get confused between the idea of my personal vote and campaigning for it. Certainly not. If you want to vote for out and that's right for you, and for example, sovereignty is the biggest issue for you, then you should vote for out. But it's about trying to make a rational decision. And I wrote a piece to try and help the undecideds work through a route of how to decide by presenting facts on both sides and laying it out plainly. But boy, when you put your head above the parapet in this one, people want to lop it off.
Well, if we walk through some of the big issues, I guess, you know, people care about their jobs, don't they? So they care about the amount of jobs that there'll be in the country. There is one school of thought, Martin, that says that, look, if immigration is harder, if it's harder for foreigners to come and get employment in this country, therefore there will be a shorter supply of labour, therefore the price of labour will go up. In other words, people will get paid more. That's one of the arguments that was presented in telly last night, for example.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting one. The key thing here is everything is probable, or rather, but not everything is probable, and you have to weigh that up. Certainly, if we leave the European Union, Britain will have complete control of its immigration policy. So that's the first thing to say. That is a definite fact. Now, whether we would still have freedom of movement is a more interesting question. For example, we may then be faced with a choice of if we want a free trade agreement with some of our current European Union partners who are then rather upset after a bitter divorce, they may make freedom of movement a condition of that trade. So there then may be a choice that the country has to make between having a trade agreement with the European Union or European Union countries and not having a trade agreement, and that would be freedom of movement, which could mean that to get the trade agreement, we have to have freedom of movement, and then we're not at the top table in the EU. Now, I'm not saying that will happen. I'm saying that is one of a range of possible outcomes. But certainly, you would, on the surface of it, if you look and say less people coming into the country means more jobs, it pushes wages up, you can see a logic in that. There are some potential problems, and I'm saying they're all wrong. I'm not saying it won't happen. First of all, what's the ceiling of price? What's the floor of prices anyway? Are people getting paid more than the national living wage? Which, you know, there has to be quite a room of demand for it to be able to be brought up. Second, will immigration still come in even if Britain has control? It does have control of its own borders, has control of its immigration policy, but doesn't have freedom of movement, because we will still need immigration to come in. But mostly, you can't look at jobs without looking at the economy, so you can't look at immigration in isolation. Now, it's worth noting on this that the In campaign are saying leaving the European Union on the worst side will cost our economy 7.5%. Well, if that's true, that will easily overturn the immigration advantage of being of not having so many people coming in from the EU. On the other hand, the Out campaign is saying it'll boost the economy by 4%. So then if you do subscribe to the idea that we want to stop immigration, and then not everybody thinks immigration is a bad thing. You know, some argue immigration adds to the wealth and talents and skills of our nation. Others, of course, think it crowds out our culture and our hospitals and our schools and has too many people coming in the country. But if you think, then maybe we'll get the Brexit boost of 4% and we get immigration controlling the jobs market. But the point is, and you can hear I'm vacillating all over the place, and that's because, Sir Stephen, I don't know and nobody knows. And I think the idea of purporting this will happen on any... You can't say this will happen. Even on the economy, which is the area we've got more research on than anything, more independent academics, and most of them do say that they think Brexit will be detrimental to the economy, that doesn't mean it will. What you have to do is do a risk assessment. Personally, I'm biased towards the idea that Brexit will be bad for the economy, certainly in the short term and maybe in the medium term, but probably in the long term back to an equilibrium. But that doesn't mean it will happen. It just means I think that's a greater risk than it not damaging the economy and it boosting the economy on the Brexit.
We've got some pretty big heavyweights telling us it will happen. We had the Chancellor, George Osborne, in Northern Ireland yesterday telling us about what will definitely happen if we leave.
The Chancellor's a campaigning politician in this particular environment. You know, politicians wear many different hats. Some wear it as, you know, the sage stewards of our country. Many wouldn't say they're sage, but sometimes what they do, and sometimes they come out with spin and spiel with their ideas to sell to us. And the most important thing to understand is we do not know what will happen. And anybody who says they know what will happen is lying to you, because we cannot know what will happen. It is based on assumptions. It's a range of certainties and probabilities. And I'm not going to try and sit here and, you know, the problem with your question, and you're a brilliant interviewer, so I'm not having a go in that way. But the problem with your question about asking me to take on a Brexit argument, for example, over immigration will boost jobs, is my answer is I don't know and nobody knows. That is certainly one of a... possibilities, but it could equally go the other way. And all you can do is look at the risks on that and not simply say, well, this will happen if we leave. And it is amazing how many people seem to think they have a crystal ball and can predict the future on an unprecedented, a completely unprecedented event that has never, ever happened before. And there is no parallels for what will happen in this environment. We do not know. We cannot know. You know, in economic terms, we could be a tiger economy, unfettered by the constraints of the European Union, able to operate and pounce on whatever growing sectors there are in the world, and able to move quickly, see ourselves grow rapidly like a small Switzerland or a Singapore of a decade ago. Alternatively, we could be languishing on the sidelines of other major continental partners who, after that bitter divorce, no longer want to work with us. And because the world is becoming about trade elephants, you know, the North American bloc, the Southeast Asian bloc, just being a single country sitting out by ourselves leaves us totally on the sidelines and our economy tanks. Those are the two possible outcomes. The truth is, it'll be somewhere in between the two. But don't ask me where, because that's where nobody knows.
Tell me this, Mark, before we let you go this morning. The Northern Ireland Executive have agreed to reduce corporation tax here to 12.5% against 20% in the rest of the UK. And I know I'm bouncing you on this, but with a dramatically different corporation tax rate in Northern Ireland, how attractive, how much of a game changer do you think that would be if it happened anywhere in the UK? And it is going to happen here in Northern Ireland.
Now, I'll first answer the question by saying my job is looking at consumer finance. I don't look at business finance. So I'm only answering this as an interested generalist, not as an expert.
Okay.
So I wouldn't read too much weight into what I say. But obviously, when you run a business, lower corporation tax is something that's attractive. And I think what you have to look at is the mobility of the businesses that could certainly move their headquarters and move their tax position into Northern Ireland. And there is going to be a level of attractiveness to that, because it's a way to do it without moving to a tax haven to lower your corporation tax. So I'm sure that some businesses, you know, even if I take the small world of television, talk a bit more about the finance and other areas, when there are regions with special treatment and tax advantages or grants for operating within a region, you see television production companies move their head offices so that they'll be eligible for those grants. Now, in effect, a reduction in corporation tax is a grant. It's a gift to you that is a better in one area than in another. So I certainly think that you will see some inflow of business. Exactly okay. How much in quantifying it, right. You have totally put me on the bounce.
All right. Listen, it's always nice to talk to you, Martin. Thank you very much indeed, sir. Thank you.
Pleasure.
All the best. Cheers. Morning to you. Kieran Limavady. Morning, Kieran.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Kieran.
Stephen, the thing about it is, of the outcome is out, right? And they're trying to get that bring down the immigrants and the refugees. Now, we get people, travellers, coming up from south and working on different places. Then every lorry on the border will be stopped. Every door will be open to check their grocery, check the goods. And then every car comes up from the south to shop, and Newry and Derry and Strabane will all be checked because they don't know who's coming in. I mean, if the dissidents can deliver weapons up onto Northern Ireland, do you think it would be harder for immigrants or anything to get into the north, to get over to Britain?
Okay, Kieran, thank you. Stephen and Antrim. Morning, Stephen.
Hi, good morning, Steve. I think Martin Lewis has been a breath of fresh air this morning. It just shows you how much time and money has been wasted by those, from a political perspective, trying to predict the future. And I think we know it's impossible to measure intention. We couldn't tell what's going to happen a second from now, never mind a minute or an hour. But Martin Lewis's balanced approach, I think, to the listeners this morning, will have provided a great deal of comfort. In other words, we can't predict the future, but go with what you believe, based on any number of factors.
But where are you going to swing?
Well, I'm not going to tell you. I think that's part of it, because, you see, the only people who benefit from me telling you what my intention is, and my intention may not be my reality, is the pollsters, the people who hype this up to frighten us. We don't know what's going to happen as a consequence on the 24th of June.
Well, you can let me know how you're feeling this morning as you're listening to this. We're getting very close to this referendum vote. June the 23rd is the key date, obviously. Next Wednesday night, that's not this Wednesday, next Wednesday, Wednesday week, we're doing a special on BBC One, Northern Ireland. I have no idea what time it's at yet, actually. I'm sure someone will tell me. 10:45, magic time. 10:45 on BBC One. We'll be doing a special European referendum special. 10:45, BBC One. And it's a massive, massive decision. This Geoffrey Peel is from the Leave campaign. Well, you heard Martin Lewis today, Geoffrey. What's your response to what he was saying?
Well, I think Martin spoke very well. I think there has been an awful lot of fear-mongering. And to be fair, on both sides, I think particularly on the Remain side, obviously being a lead campaigner, but I think we all have to reach a decision based on how we weigh up the relative risks. We can't predict the future. We don't know what the outcomes are going to be. But while Martin has reached the decision that he wants to remain, I would reach the decision that I would want to leave. And you know, Martin didn't mention the kind of systemic risks that there are within the European Union. You know, we don't know what's going to happen to the EU budget and the UK contribution to it. We don't know what's going to happen to the UK rebate. We don't know what's going to happen in terms of future Greek bailouts. We don't know whether the Italian banks are going to crash. So all of these black swan events could well happen, which for me tip the balance in favour of leaving. For me, the debate isn't really about immigration. I agree that immigration is important, and we do make use of people who come to these shores from the EU and from outside of the EU, and they contribute a great deal. But I think there's a more fundamental issue as well related to the decision, and that is whether the United Kingdom should be able to govern itself rather than be governed by unelected bureaucrats in the European Union. That's not something that was factored into Martin's argument. I think for an awful lot of people, it is a very fundamental issue that the United Kingdom should be able to vote in its own elected representatives and turf them out of office if we feel that they're not delivering. And that is impossible when it comes to the European Union, and is a there's an element of passion about people who want to leave the European Union, because we believe that an unelected bunch of bureaucrats, that's not the best way to govern a nation or a group of nations, that we should be governing ourselves, reaching our own decisions on immigration, reaching our own decisions on trade policy and all of those other rafts of issues that Martin alluded to as well.
Do you agree then with Martin Lewis that both sides have been too quick to claim certainty?
Absolutely. There is no certainty. You know, I was on the Good Morning Ulster programme there, and there were lots of people on the Remain campaign saying what was going to happen if the UK would exit. And of course, they don't know. And I don't know, to be fair. And even the Leave campaigners don't know, because we don't know who's going to be in government. I think there's a fundamental principle here, however, that the people who govern us should be reaching those decisions. You know, people like Michael Gove will be hopefully in government post-Brexit and will be able to make recommendations to the cabinet and make recommendations in terms of what the policy should be. And therefore, if we believe in the United Kingdom self-governing and reaching its own decisions and having, you know, democratic principles of government, then we have to leave it to our own elected representatives to reach decisions on our behalf. And by voting to leave, of course, it would mean that we would have a new government. It's almost certain that David Cameron and George Osborne would no longer be in government, and therefore people on the Leave side would be more likely to influence the policy decisions that are taken post-Brexit.
Yeah, I guess people just that are with the Remain campaign, Geoffrey, they just don't want the risk. They know what they know because we're in there, and better the devil they know than the devil they don't.
But of course they don't, you know, because at the minute the United Kingdom pays in £350 million gross, but that's because of, you know, we have a rebate which you know, gives us some money back. It's by the way, it is deferred for a year. So one of the other benefits of us leaving is we would get a €5 billion euro rebate pretty much immediately on leaving, you know, but There are certainly advantages to leaving. There are advantages in terms of cheaper food, getting out of the common agricultural policy, restoring our fisheries, all of those good things. But everybody has to balance it. But at the centre of this debate, there is this fundamental issue about sovereignty. If we're part of a sovereign nation, we need to reach our own decisions. We need to elect our government and be able to get rid of those that government if it is not doing what we as an electorate want.
Let's hear what we're saying this morning. Thomas. Morning, Thomas.
I was just coming back on to the point of by saying about checkpoints, and every car door is going to be open, the grocery shopping is going to be checked through. That's nonsense, because at the minute, you can travel from the EU to the Isle of Man. From Northern Ireland to the Isle of Man, or from the Republic of Ireland to the Isle of Man. The Isle of Man's not a member of the EU, but it's a member of the Common Travel Area. So after we leave, the Common Travel Area would still be the same, and you could travel from the Republic of Ireland into Northern Ireland or into the UK. It would be the same Common Travel Area. So there doesn't have to be checkpoints set up.
Well, if there's not going to be checkpoints set up, and we are out of the EU and Ireland is still in it, then how, for example, do you stop people walking into the EU from Northern Ireland?
Don't.
How do you stop people walking from the EU? They travel to Ireland, they walk from Europe straight into Northern Ireland. So how do you control immigration?
Just because they can walk in, and the reason
you if there's no checkpoints, you can't control immigration. Then
you can control immigration without checkpoints.
But for those people who are saying that they want to leave Europe because they want to control immigration, think about it, Thomas. Right? They want to control immigration. That's part of why they want to leave Europe. Then, if there's no checkpoint on the border, then what someone does is they're in Europe, a European travels to Ireland, and then they decide, right, we're going to go into the UK. Ah, the UK is no longer part of Europe, but they just tiddle across the border into Northern Ireland. That's them in the UK.
Yes, but
then they travel to England, Scotland, Wales, wherever they want. They're in. There's been no check.
You can control immigration by controlling the reasons behind immigration, by controlling your benefit system, by controlling that.
Can you?
Yes. You can stop the reasons for people.
Well, if you could do that, then you wouldn't need to leave Europe, because a government can control the level of benefits.
The government doesn't have control of the laws. The government does have control of
how much benefits, the rate of benefits. Nigel next in Belfast. Morning, Nigel.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Go ahead.
Yeah, first, I have to say, Martin Lewis, what a great contribution. I mean, I'm strongly remain, but there are pros and cons to both sides, and to hear someone talking sensibly about it is really refreshing, and it's great. So thank you for bringing Martin on. Yeah, just on the border's not that big a deal for me. I have an Irish passport. If we leave, I'll be fine. I travel a lot in Europe. It's my job. But I travel...
Well, should I get an Irish passport?
Well, it's a very good idea. So just to generally there, I travel a lot from Geneva into France, and I cross the border, and you have to go through a hard physical border. And sometimes you're stopped, sometimes you're not. I have colleagues who work in Geneva who are French, and they have to go through that every single day. So it's like, if that's the case between Switzerland and France, they're both reasonably modern, developed countries and everything else, that exists there. Why would that not exist here? And your point is absolutely critical. One of the points that the Leave say is, well, we want to stop these 500 million people coming potentially if Turkey joins. Well, if Turkey joins, then you can come to Dublin, hop on a train, get in a bus, get in a car, and you're in the UK. And if you want to be an illegal worker in the UK, that's fine.
Go on, Jeffrey.
It's even easier than that. What you can do is you can get onto a plane in Istanbul and fly to London. So there is no suggestion that people cannot travel across the European Union, that the United Kingdom should leave. People travel without the need for any visas between the United States and the UK currently. Jeffrey, stop.
I travel to the US. I just have to fill out my ESTA form.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you might have to fill out
the UK, waiver form. Yes. I have to fill out an ESTA form, which effectively is a lightweight visa.
So it's not
very onerous. I have to do it.
Yeah, it's not very onerous, and of course you don't need a visa. There's a visa waiver program in operation. Nobody's suggesting that we reinstate visas between European Union nations and the United Kingdom, but it would be up to the UK to decide. People can fly into Dublin. Neither Ireland or the UK are members of Schengen, so there is passport control. if you want to fly from a European Union country at the minute to Ireland.
If you're a Polish, if you're a Polish plumber, you can land in Dublin, show your passport, perfectly legal, no problem at all. You'll go straight through. You get on a bus. You don't want to work in Dublin. You can say anything you want. You get on the bus. You come to Belfast. You're in the UK. And you can then go and work anywhere you want
The only difference would be post-Brexit, the Polish builder could work in Dublin and go across the border, but that Polish builder would therefore, if the UK decides that Polish builders are not eligible to work in the UK, the Polish builder would not be able to work in the United Kingdom, could quite safely travel throughout the United Kingdom under a tourism arrangement. So, and that applies to if somebody from Nigeria flies to the United Kingdom or indeed flies to Ireland and then travels across the border, they can, of course, travel, but they are not able to work if the United Kingdom decides that they're not able to work.
One of the interesting things I learned last night from the Andrew Neil show on BBC, Andrew Neil's class, by the way, just a different class. I think he's brilliant. But one of the things I learned from his show last night was actually when we've heard that, look, we have the working time directive and we've a guaranteed number of holidays from being part of the European Union, not the working directive, the guaranteed number of holidays. Actually, UK law gives people more guarantee of more holidays in the UK than Europe does. So again, we're being bombarded with spin and facts from one side and the other. And then it was broken down last night. And Andrew Neil hit, it was Hillary Benn that was on last night. And he just hit him and he said, hold on a minute. You're saying we should stay part of Europe because, for example, it protects the number of holidays we get per year. It's UK law that actually gives you more protection. Fred and Dramore. Morning, Fred.
How you doing?
Go ahead, Fred.
I think this morning was good to hear. Was it Martin you called him?
Yes.
Hey, but what we don't forget is this thing, we can't see the future, but we know what the past was like. When we joined Europe, since we joined Europe, we've seen our coal, steel, shipbuilding, coal and car industry go to the wall, with aviation, agriculture and engineering struggling. And yet we seem to want to hold on to this. We've lost all these things.
Fred, thank you. Patrick and Derry. Morning, Patrick.
Hi, good morning. Well, today, they're not all. Allow me to tell them what they call the truth. And this one that bothers me is this idea of the border. Because I've just thought about, what if I decide to barricade the front of my house from burglars, but left the back side of it, just leave the back and say nobody's going to bother? Because they blatantly keep saying they're never going to come in. There's never going to be borders. And my question is, this is getting rammed down people's throat. If this turns out, and Brexit wins, and that turns out to be a blatant lie, and up goes the customs posts, up goes the border patrols, up goes the checkpoints and all, what do we do about it? You've been told a blatant lie. You know, it's rammed up. Mrs. Villers, where we call, she actually says, no way. You said it. We can't get our heads around it, none of us. That this isn't going to happen. I can't.
What were you going to vote, Patrick?
Me? I'm voting to say I'm happy with the do. I mean, I listened to all the things they said, and I found out all the unions in the UK and Ireland are all for it because they got better conditions and all. But then the good old NHTSA, Northern Ireland, you've got to be different. We'll go against it. You see, Northern Ireland again is against the Green all the time. It's weird, hey? There's something between Northern Ireland. Maybe they think they're a little empire. I don't know. Or Dad's Army, you know the way Dad's Army goes, who are you kidding, Mr. Hitler? There's something about this place here who thinks that they are above the rest.
Patrick, thank you.